In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will those who are saved be few? I mean, that question will quiet a room. Have all heads and ears turned in anticipation of the answer. And Jesus answers that question in this way. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. I don't know about you, but I don't exactly experience great comfort when I hear those words from Jesus. How about you? I mean, hearing our Lord state in a quite matter-of-fact way that many will seek salvation and will be not denied entry into heaven, it doesn't give me peace. But when I hear His command to strive, I want to ask, what exactly do you mean, Jesus? Surely Jesus doesn't mean that the life of a Christian is one characterized by striving and struggling, does he? I mean, the other thing I want to ask is, Jesus, tell me what I have to do to get through that door. What boxes do I need to check off? I mean, I'm a list person. Give me a list. Tell me what I should be doing or what I shouldn't be doing. But no matter how desperately we try to squeeze through that narrow opening, you and I just won't fit. You can struggle, you can kick, you can scratch your way, you can try to hold your breath and squeeze through that door, but it's to no avail. We're stuck on the wrong side of heaven's door. And believe it or not, this is what Christ is talking about here, what he says, that entering through the narrow door of salvation will include agonizing struggle. The struggle of the old Adam, wanting to fit through that narrow door, holding on to all that he possesses, all that he can grab onto. What you and I think that gives us confidence or assurance, security that we can muster up, that we can cling on to hope for. The things that give us peace and purpose and direction. But the only way in is to let it all go. And the only way the old Adam will let go is if he is no longer breathing. Yes, the only way in is through death. Your death through Jesus' death. And your new life through his resurrection life. The Apostle Paul talks about this life in Christ in terms of being, of all things, crucified. When he writes to the Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And how are you and I crucified? By God himself putting us to death with his word. He causes us to repent. He turns us to see the truth about ourselves, to confess that we can't make it through that narrow door by our own doing. We need someone to save us. We need a Savior who has saved us and never stops saving us. Knowing what God says about how things are and how things ought to be, and also knowing the contrary things that the world and your sinful flesh says about how things are and how they ought to be. This conflict certainly can cause some agonizing times and struggles in your life and my life, don't they? I mean, it can be absolutely agonizing to hear God's truth and then confess our guilt, admitting that we're in the wrong. I mean, there's not one of us here who hasn't struggled and agonized with the tension of knowing God's truth and His Word and our sinful realities, our sinful desires, that conflict. I mean, we want to be recognized, after all, as faithful Christians. But reality is that we still sinfully want to lead our lives the way that we want, not necessarily the way that God wants. You and I must die. Yet death doesn't have the last word. Our words of confession, words of sorrow over sins, are not the last word. But Jesus' words that you are forgiven because of His death, and that you now have life because of His resurrection, that is God's final word. The cross of Christ, that's the one and only way into heaven, through the cross of Christ. And yet, many refuse to enter by that way. Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And this is precisely why the number of people being saved is so few. Many people don't want the agony that comes with a life of constantly confessing against yourself and trusting only in Jesus. A life of being put to death by God and being raised up by Him in Christ. They don't want that struggle. They don't want to acknowledge that Jesus is the only way in, the only way to heaven. In the gospel lesson, Jesus is addressing people who shared table fellowship with Him. They ate and they drank with Him in His midst, but they didn't know Him. They refused to know Him as He truly is. They refused to acknowledge Him as Messiah, as Savior. A counterfeit Jesus is not a saving Jesus. And Jesus, He never will be. A Christ that blesses and condones and celebrates sin is not a true Christ. And a Savior who helps you to live a better life in your flesh by following His example is no Savior at all, because He's not saving you from what is truly killing you, what is truly, truly killing me. Anyone who claims to be a Christian and is trusting in anything other than a bloody, crucified, and risen Jesus for their righteousness, their entry through that narrow door, is in fact no Christian at all. He does not know their Savior, and the Savior does not know him. So what does this mean for us, for you and me? All counterfeit Christ aside, our Lord has come to die for sinners. He has come to get us, you and me, through that narrow door, not by our own doing, but by His. He has come not only to open the way of salvation, but to carry us through. So there's no need to fret, to worry, to doubt, to question. Jesus doesn't leave us looking to ourselves for that kind of assurance, to answer that question, how do I get in? But he instead turns us to look outside of ourselves for assurance in what he promises and what he has done for us. So where do you and I look for assurance this morning? That he will welcome us to his heavenly table. Well, we need to look no further than the table that he has set before us here in this place, this very morning. As Jesus gathers and welcomes you and me to feast on his very own body and blood. With Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with all the hosts and saints of heaven here this morning. Jesus has in fact opened the door and is ushering us in. Are you baptized? Have you been washed with the water of his word? Then you are a redeemed child of God, and nothing can take that away from you. You are baptized into his death. All of your sins covered, atoned for. It's finished. It is finished means exactly that. It is finished. There's no what if. There's no yeah, but. Jesus has paid the entire wage of your sin with his very own lifeblood. And he bestows on you his victory over sin, death, and the devil, clothing you with the white robe of his righteousness. God himself is continually saving you by stripping you down in repentance, actually killing you, and raising you up again in new life, giving you life in his gospel. And when it's your time to leave this veil of tears because of what Jesus has done for you on his cross, you may confidently and peacefully pass through his blessed narrow door into everlasting heavenly salvation. My friends, Jesus knows you, and now he even welcomes you to enter in and sit at his table, for you are Christ's, and he's made you his very own, and welcomes you to enter into his eternal rest. In the name of Jesus, amen.